Yeah, it's a song that I've been humming this week. That's the song that's been, well, I've been singing it too, but you wouldn't want to hear me sing it. Hey, one of the things that I've loved about being here at Grace Point is that there is a weekly email that comes out. It's called the Grace Point News. Comes in my inbox every week. I was added to that, and so I hope that it is coming to your inbox. But if it is not, just send an email to the church, and we'll be glad to add you to that. And if you noticed this week, if you had a chance to look at it, or if it's still... Well, I know that sometimes happens too. If you've got that email that's in your inbox and it's still unopened, I encourage you to open it and take a look at it because it's got a great list of opportunities where you have a chance to serve here at Grace Point. We are in a time that, you know, children are returning to school. Some of our older children are going to college, and there's new adventures that happen throughout the fall. But as we think about the fall, coming through the end of the year, too, it would be great if there's some opportunities, if you could just look through there and just notice some places where you could serve, some places where you could serve here at Grace Point. But again, first of all, if you're not on the email list, if you're not getting something that says Grace Point News, that is the right name, right? That's not on my notes this morning. So just making sure that's what it is. That's what I'm calling it in my mind this morning. But if you're not on the email, just send an email to the church, and we'll be glad to add you to it. I did want to invite you into the New Testament, into the Gospel of Luke this morning, the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. This is a scripture that it was late in the week that I chose this story. You've heard me share a little bit of it this morning. I had plans for another scripture, but at times the Holy Spirit guides you in other directions. So Luke chapter 19, we're going to start at the very first verse, easy enough, and then continue through verse 10. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. You'll see the Christian Standard Bible, I believe, on the screen. Fairly similar, maybe a little bit different. But I invite you to hear these words. And this is Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. And a man was there who was named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, at verse 5, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it, they began to grumble, and they said to one another, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there, and he said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. We pray and ask that as our hearts come together, that, Lord, you may speak tenderly to our hearts, that you may guide us and that you may direct us. Lord, I thank you for the words that you have given to me. I pray and I ask that these will be words that are pleasing and words that are acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know, several years ago, I had an opportunity. I was at the University of Montevallo, and there were some educators. I mean, it's a college, so of course, there were the educators that are around there. But it was social workers that were talking. And social workers is a field of study that I've encountered them before, especially in ministry, but really, you know, not spent much time around social workers, but licensed social workers. And they were talking, and one of the interesting things that they were sharing, one of the interesting things that they were saying, is that social workers are the kind of people that are in our communities. They're the kind of people that are in our neighborhoods that go toward the danger. And I thought to myself, I said, that is really interesting. That's a really interesting call, that social workers are the kind of people that live around us that go toward the danger. And I was just thinking that as we continue to see images of recovery, continue to see these images of just these horrific sights that have happened in Maui, I was thinking, can you imagine? Can you imagine the work that social workers, can you imagine the work that other providers and other professionals are making even this day, after this kind of destruction of the wildfires that have happened, because they are people that are, you know, on the front lines, people that are going toward the danger, people that are in the midst of a place where everything has changed. And almost from some experiences, some of the interviews that are coming out, you know, experiences that just changed over a few hours and definitely changed overnight. And I was thinking, as followers of Jesus, you know, the invitation that we were given our children, the invitation that we take up among ourselves, as followers of Jesus, you know, we know something about change. We know something about what it means to change in our lives. We know what it's like to change, and we should be the very people that are real experts on change. We even know that when we embrace change in our own lives, that it leads to transformation. And that's why today, one of the things I want us to do is to focus on real change. And what I've done as I have looked and as I've studied the scriptures and as I've experienced that in my own life, real change is something that happens to us in a spiritual way too. I mean, really, if you stop to think about it, any change in anyone's life, we should be the real experts that are able to stand up and are able to invite people into embracing change in their own lives. If social workers are the ones that are running toward danger, we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should be the very people that are running toward any kind of change that anybody is facing in their lives. And I know that is extraordinarily positive. I know that is extraordinarily happy, especially for a preacher to be saying that we should be those people that are doing that. But how in the world do we do it? I mean, how do we come into a place where we are becoming experts in change? How are we coming to a place where we take it not only in our own lives, as people who have heard Jesus call to our own lives and have experienced the kind of change and transformation that Jesus living in us brings to us, how can we, well, be those kinds of experts? I mean, how do we do it? How do we embrace real change, spiritual change that leads to personal transformation? I'm sure all of you know, whether you have flown lately or not, I'm sure that all of you know those universal instructions regarding airplanes. In the event of an accident, y'all know those? In the event of an accident, put on your own oxygen mask first. Before you try to help anyone else, before, even if there's a child that is next to you, even if you have an infant that is next to you, put on your own oxygen mask first. Because why? Because if you lose consciousness, you're going to be able to help anyone else. But in the event of an accident, put on your own oxygen mask first. Now, years before airplanes, climbing a tree was probably a pretty good view. It was probably a good chance to get a view. If you wanted to see up loud, I will say that perhaps stilts can serve as a good tree if you're inside a sanctuary too. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Zacchaeus thought about an oxygen mask when he was climbing up that tree. I don't know if Zacchaeus was even worried about the kind of altitude that he was doing as he was climbing up that tree. Likely, Zacchaeus was not thinking about changing too very much. Yet one thing is so much in the commotion of the crowd that had gathered. A crowd that you are probably much more polite as you came into the sanctuary this morning than the crowd that was gathering and surrounding Jesus. But in the crowd was so much commotion and crowds of where Zacchaeus had heard Jesus is about to pass that way. I don't know what Zacchaeus thought when he was going up there. Maybe he'd heard, because this was a time when there was rumors about Jesus and he was able to heal people. There were rumors that were moving around that there were other miracles that Jesus was involved in. But one thing in this commotion of crowds that was around Jesus, Zacchaeus had heard Jesus was about to pass that way, and Zacchaeus knew for certain. It's what Luke helps us to see with clarity, is that Zacchaeus knew for certain that Jesus was coming. And he wanted to get the very best look at Jesus that he possibly could. And I want you to do this. I want you to pause for a minute. And I want you to consider. I want you to just pause and consider for a moment. When is the last time that you got to a place where you were able to take a really good look at Jesus? In essence, when is the last time? And maybe it was a really high place. Maybe it was on top of a mountain. Maybe it was a really low place. Maybe you found yourself next to some water. Maybe it was around the beach. Maybe it was around some other lakes or the river or something. But when is that last place? Maybe it was, as Jesus once strut at times, maybe it was inside your own prayer closet. When's the last time that you paused and you considered a fresh look at Jesus? In essence, your own sycamore tree, as Luke is inviting us to see as we overlook the shoulder of Zacchaeus. Because I think when we're able to do that, I think when we're able to pause for a moment and get a real good look at Jesus, I think when we find our own selves in our own kind of sycamore tree, I think, well, even before then, how many of you have looked around and you've been upset about changes that you've seen in our world? How many times have you maybe you've looked around and you've been upset about some of the changes that are happening in your family? Maybe even some of the changes that are happening around your friends. Friends that you love and that you care about. Or maybe even times that you've been upset. And this seems to be a real common one. When have you looked around work and you've been upset? Maybe some of those policies that have come down lately. When have you been upset about something that was happening at school? You see, I think that's what helps us. I think it's what helps us in extraordinary ways, that when we look around and really take a moment to get a clear picture of Jesus, to do in that biblical sense what the Scriptures remind us of doing, of guarding our hearts. That if we are able to pause and let Jesus get a little bit clearer in our hearts, I think we're able to see. I think we're able to see that those changes that are upsetting us, those changes that are happening in our world, those changes that may be happening all around us, I think if we really, well, in essence, put on our own oxygen mask first, we may find and we may discover in that clear sense of Jesus, we may find and discover that those changes that we're upset about, that are happening all around us, that maybe, if we are able to get a real picture of Jesus, then we'll find that we've been spending way too much time and way too much energy on those other things that are happening around us. And maybe even taking that moment to put on our own oxygen mask first before we attempt to change anyone else or even anything else. Zacchaeus in the top of that tree is likely not thinking about or even considering what he could change. He was likely mainly wanting to get a better picture and a better look at Jesus. And he meets Jesus, who says, "Today, Zacchaeus, I am going to come to your house." And before Jesus even comes inside, Zacchaeus stands at the door. He says, "Lord, half my possessions I'll give to the poor. Four times as much. If there's anything, if I've committed any fraud, I will give back four times as much." And what I want you to do is to imagine the power to change when it's initiated by Jesus. And we'll never discover that unless we have that picture of Jesus, unless we have that clear view of Jesus. But how do we do this? How do we sustain this kind of change that Jesus may begin to initiate in our lives? I'm not sure about you, but I've wondered about this story. I've wondered about Zacchaeus in this story because I want more of it. I want Luke. I don't want it to end at verse 10, but I want it to continue because I want more of this story. I've always been fascinated by this story because of this idea about Zacchaeus making this change. And then I want to know, well, what happens next, sustaining this change? you know, in essence, okay, I've done it. I've done exactly what we're talking about this morning. I've done this very thing. I've taken the time to see Jesus with fresh eyes. Jesus has initiated this change in me. I recognize it's spiritual. I recognize that it is important for me to embrace it. But now what? How do I sustain it? Did you notice this? Did you notice in these scriptures? Did you notice this morning what Jesus says to Zacchaeus? Not sure if he ever called him Zac or not, too. I've wondered about that, too. But did you notice in verse 9, Luke 19, in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. Does Zacchaeus ask for salvation? He might have wanted it, might have heard about it, might have desired it, but did he ask for it? And this story challenges me about my own understanding of change. Because Jesus never invites Zacchaeus to change. There's no finger wagging. He doesn't ask for a meal, and Jesus never demands. He just says, I'm going to stay at your house. And the story shows change unfolding right before our eyes. At his house, Zacchaeus makes significant changes. Jesus announces significant changes in the house of Zacchaeus. Lord, if I've done anything, if I've taken money, if I've defrauded anyone four times as much, half of my possessions, Jesus to Zacchaeus, today salvation is going to come. Now, I want to do this. I want to shift because as I was doing this, I told you I've been fascinated by this story. But as I was doing this, I want to shift gears. So is that okay? I've been told by preaching professors that that's the point. If you try to make abrupt changes, you lose people. So y'all are going to stay with me, right? If I shift gears, and y'all know if you want to, I'll spend too much time rambling now. But a NASCAR race, you know, you don't want to lose people in the corners. So y'all stay. Y'all hold on. Don't say. But I want to do this because in Paul's letter, the Apostle Paul, after the resurrection, early church, and so y'all still there. So after the early church, Paul's writing a letter to First Corinthians. And there's this conversation because they're experiencing baptism. You know, our baptismal font's down here. And so a lot of you likely recognize this baptismal font. A lot of you have probably recognized, you know, infants being baptized here. So you've seen that. But in the first century, it was kind of new. People were experiencing it. And so Paul and Apollos were both involved in baptizing early followers of Jesus Christ. Apollos was involved in baptizing. And so in this place, in 1 Corinthians, the New Testament letter that Paul was writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, in the early church, Paul says, in all this conflict that is beginning to emerge, he says, I want you to know one thing clear. I am the one who planted. Paul, I am the one that planted. I planted some communities. I planted some congregations. I planted what would become new churches. In fact, there are churches that are meeting today that were planted. We still follow this kind of idea. And Paul says, Paul planted. Apollos watered. How many of you know it? And God gave the growth. God is the one that gave the growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. So why are we doing this? Why this shift? Why this shift over here to talk about Paul and Apollos? Well, remember, and the change that we are talking about. Remember, I've said it, that real change is spiritual. God is the one that sustains the changes in our lives. God is the one that, as Paul reminds us, God is the one that sustains that kind of change. That's exactly how we do it. Is that as we have this change that's initiated in our lives through Jesus, as we have this change that's initiated in our lives, just as Zacchaeus was climbing up on that sycamore tree, God is the one that gives the growth. God is the one that sustains those changes that we experience in our lives. This is as true as it is for our CrossFit schedules or our other schedules of exercising. It is even better in our own times of wondering, how can I manage my time better? How can I be more productive? As it is with, how can I give my life more time for those quiet moments of devotion with God and also reading the scriptures? Imagine the power of change in our own lives and in our own church when it is initiated by Jesus. and imagine what a great gift that we have from God, that God is the one that gives the growth, that God is the one that is able to sustain those changes in our lives. Jesus holds space outside of Zacchaeus' door, saying, today salvation has come to this house. God is here. This is going to stay, Zacchaeus. This is not just a one-time event. So if that is true, how should we? How should we as followers of Jesus Christ, how should we think about change? Because the Apostle Paul reminds us again. Now this is another letter, a letter that he writes to the Romans. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul reminds us that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So in the midst of change, how should we think about change? Well, again, with Zacchaeus. And this vantage point of climbing up a tree, getting a good look at Jesus, responding to this invitation from Jesus, today, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus changes his life. From a tax collector who is well within his rights that are granted by the empire that he is a part of, well within his rights to exhort people, defraud people, as he was collecting their taxes. And yet Zacchaeus makes dramatic changes. Again, without any finger wagging from Jesus. Apart from dramatic declarations from Jesus. But with the announcement that salvation has come upon this house. It's a complete change in mindset for Zacchaeus. And also a complete mindset for us who continue to seek to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Because what we're able to see in Luke chapter 19 is that change is not something that happened to Zacchaeus. Change is something that does come to Zacchaeus in a way that is initiated by Jesus and is promised to be sustained by God. How many of you remember the fishermen that Jesus encounters early in his life? How many of you, Mark chapter 1, verse 17, as well as Matthew, as well as Luke and John, they talk about Jesus calling his first disciples. But how many of you remember this, particularly from Mark chapter 1, verse 17, when Jesus encounters some fishermen, they're drying out their nets. They're in the very act of drying out their nets. And how many of you remember this, that Jesus says, you are no longer going to be fishing, but you're going to be fishers for people. Or the way that I memorized it the first time, you're going to be fishers of men. Change is not something that happens to us. This is what Luke 19 reminds us. It's what Zacchaeus experiences in his own life. Change is not just something that happens to us, but change is something that happens for us. This is what Zacchaeus embraces as he begins to live a very different life, a life where his house now has salvation that has found his own home. You see, that's how we think about change. Is that change is not something that happens to us, but change is something that happens for us. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful. We are grateful, O Lord, that you have come and that you have met us in this place today. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you will continue. Continue to give us fresh eyes so that we may see you. Continue, O God, to enable us to embrace change in our own lives, to recognize that change is something that happens for us. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.